Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Crazy old man in his own attic, episode 81. Nice day in D.C., Wilb. I'm breezy, but a nice day. We're going to begin with Oklahoma State. The head coach, Mike Gundy, the star running back, Chuba Hubbard. They seemed quite chummy on the video they released on social media. This seemed to diffuse the issue that Hubbard and other players expressed at Gundy being photographed in a T-shirt advertising a right-wing news organization the other day. Wilbon, do you sense this is the end of the issue or the beginning?
It's not the beginning. I don't sense the end either. It's not the beginning because Mike Gundy's behaved like a fool multiple times. Just a couple of months ago, he ran off his mouth and said something like, oh, yeah, we're going to be back. Football's be back. The students will be back in here by like June 1st, whatever it is. That date has passed. He didn't know what he was saying, or he knew what he was saying and didn't give a care. I mean, he's involved in too many things, Tony. And I know it's a long period of time. It's not like he's had multiple incidents in a week, but he's had enough incidents that make me think this is going to receive more scrutiny. You can't just say things now and be dismissive and say, I'm the head football coach and you don't question me. That's not playing right now. He may have gotten away with this latest incident today with his players today, but the scrutiny is going to be on him. And you know what, Tony? It's justified.
So in the past few weeks, we have seen at three pretty big football schools, at Florida State and Iowa and now Oklahoma State, we've seen kids take to social media to express dissatisfaction with something that's going on in the program. They have rattled the cages of the coaches there, but in each case, the coach has stayed. The coach has been able, apparently, to smooth this over. At some point, Mike, one of these coaches is going to get fired. And players are going to realize how much power they have, as they have in the pros for a long time, which is why John Beilein isn't coaching, why David Blatt isn't coaching, because players have a lot more power. I watched Paul Feinbaum today on television say that they should just get rid of Gundy because of what you're saying, sort of accumulated grievances. I don't know that I would go that far. He hasn't beaten Oklahoma, but he's beaten a lot of other people, but he does seem to me egotistical, and he does seem sort of like a feudal lord in a small town, and I think that would wear people out after a while.
Tony, it's been acceptable, particularly in college football, for 100 years. And all of a sudden, you talk about the changing landscape, all right? And I know that some people are sort of pushing back against that. But this whole thing where you're the lord of some little town in college football, and therefore you can get away with anything, see, that is changing. That's going to change. That's going to change immediately because university presidents and other officials are going to receive so much pressure, Tony, from those communities and those players and those parents that they're going to turn around and tell that coach to get out. And if you're not telling Gundy to get out now, he's on deck. He's on the clock to get the hell out. If he doesn't understand, you're one misstep away from being justifiably thrown out on your bum.
So I wanted to get to this. I think the act of wearing that shirt was deliberate. I think it was provocative, obviously. If this was his Drew Brees moment, I'm not sure he rose to it. I'm not sure that there was contrition there. I'm not sure there was sincerity there. I think he outmaneuvered a college kid. I'm not sure that is always going to happen. And I think there are lessons to be learned here for other coaches of other sports in a lot of universities. I do.
So. I agree with you, Tony. I don't know if he's going to be one of the guys who learns that. He seems determined not to. Less than a week moving to baseball, Tony, after Rob Manfred said he was 100% certain there would be baseball this season. And less than 3 days after players said, tell us when and where, the commissioner told Mike Greenberg yesterday he is not confident there will be a season. Plenty of players, led by Trevor Bauer, say this is just a stall tactic so the owners can schedule as short a season as possible. Tom, do you believe Manfred, or do you believe these are tactics he's resorting to?
So what I think, because we do a baseball story every day, and at this point, with me, I believe that everything from both sides sounds a little bit like grandstanding. I believe both sides really don't like each other. There's great enmity there, which is why my position was to get binding arbitration. In this particular case with Rob Manfred, what are the notes that I took here? I don't know. If you're keeping score, Mike, it seems like the players won this one. As you alluded to, the players said, we're done. Just tell us where and when and we'll go play. And then suddenly Manfred said, well, I'm not sure we can do it that way, which gives credence to the notion that some people think that ownership wants to just have 48 or 50 games and wants to delay until there's no other opportunity. That sounds very cynical to me. But honestly, Mike, this story is wearisome to me. It's the same story every day. It's
Tony, it was wearisome to me, as you know, by day three. Let me just tell you a personal little anecdote. So I'm driving the 15 minutes from my home to the studio here in Scottsdale. And I've now checked out on sports talk radio. Not into it in that 15-minute drive. News talk, I'm not into it. I'm just going to listen to music. So I'm bouncing around from station to station, mostly on XM, but you can get the whole country. You can get a sampling of music. And Tony, on four of the eight stations I hit today, there was a comment by, I'll call the person a disc jockey or a host or whatever you want to call that person. And it was negative toward baseball. It was sort of like, okay, we got this update on basketball. We got this update on football. And baseball, they can't even blah, 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 blah. It was very negative and pointed. And these are people who are just going to turn on when some sports comes on. They're not following the ins and outs, but they have already got this unbelievable perception of baseball and what baseball is failing to do. And baseball not connecting, Tony. We're not talking about hardcore fans. We're talking about people they need to come into the tent. And I think we're not the only ones sick of baseball right now.
I think that the important thing would be, in other words, if you thought this was just strategic, the important thing would be, are they talking? Have they gotten to the point where they are talking? I don't know if they're talking. I am pretty certain of this. And the reason it gets so wearisome to me is that in this particular case, neither the players, and I believe that both the owners and the players are going to stand to lose a lot of money without fans. I don't think it's just one side that's going to lose. I think they're both going to lose. But I don't think, and I differentiate this from other sports, honestly, Mike, I don't think that either side cares about baseball for the general public. I mean, I just don't think they do. I think they care
only. The general
only,
public perceives that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they only care about that. Let us move on. Let's go to basketball. I mean, the stories are always the same. This is today's basketball story. Adam Silver says he is confident. You like to avoid that word confident because of Rob Manfred. He says he's confident he can work through all the problems, you know, facing an NBA restart. And these include health and safety concerns because of the virus and the opinion of some players that it's better not to play basketball at all and concentrate on social issues. Wilbon, are you as confident as Adam Silver that he can work through this?
Well, Tony, one thing Adam Silver has not been is overconfident. I mean, you know, back when everybody was saying, let's go, let's go, let's go, Adam Silver was saying, hold on. So Adam Silver is not prone to be overconfident about this or overstated. And so if he's saying he's confident, I tend to take him at his word. Tony, the one thing we know, we talked about baseball not talking to each other, and they freely sort of admit it. Basketball has been. The leaders of basketball, Chris Paul and LeBron James and guys who were involved in both the union and then unofficially, I mean, they're talking to the commissioner and they're talking to their own union head all the time. Now, they may not agree with a segment of players, a growing segment, maybe even a quarter. And we're talking about 100. We're talking about slightly a quarter of the league. They may not agree with Kyrie Irving and Dwight Howard and certain others. But I believe when you listen to what he says, what Adam Silver says, he can work through it. He will talk to people and they will work through it. That's not the same as saying we're going to impose something. So I am, again, I think I'm reasonably optimistic that they're going to get through this and have a season, reasonably so, not totally.
Yeah, the word I would avoid at all costs is confident. And I am informed by what Rob Manfred has said in the last 24 hours. I would get away from confident. I'll just give you this example. What if 30% of the NBA players decide, with justification, We're afraid of this virus. We don't want to do this. We don't want to live like this for however long it takes. And what if another 30% said, you know what? We are so concerned with social issues that we think playing basketball sends the wrong message right now. So we don't want to do that. Well, that's 60%. That's 60%, you know, from two different venues in the sport. I think Adam Silver, of all the commissioners, has been most player friendly, more player friendly perhaps than owners would be. But if there is an agenda from players about themselves, if it is about not money, but power, and they don't want to play, then I don't know that he can get that to happen. You mentioned Chris Paul and LeBron James. Are they out there on the record? Are they talking about this? Are they the leadership of the NBA? Because that's the League of Harmony, Mike. But is that fraying it all from different sides here?
Well, Tony, people have different opinions, and they're entitled to it, and they should. And they should have to work through these things. I believe that, yes, Chris Paul and LeBron James, they represent a group. I'm not going to say they're the only two leaders. Yeah. Now, Tony, when you yesterday we talked about whether or not the commissioner and the union had sort of canvassed properly the constituency, the players. And I think they did that with the reasonable people. And that doesn't necessarily include the loudest people. And so Kyrie Irving and Dwight Howard have been a little louder than others, but I don't know that right. They are more. I don't know that they're anywhere near as representative, and I don't know about. I don't know about 30% and 30%. That's a lot. I mean, we know where if it's 100, and we don't even know if it's 100. We know 100 people that participated and are listening. If it was the full 100, that's a quarter. And I don't know what you may have in there. Both camps, both a camp that is saying, "Wait a minute, I don't know if I want to be in a bubble, and this virus still scares me to the point that I may not want to participate." And you may have within that, the camp that's saying, "Hold on, my attentions are elsewhere, and they include social justice, and I don't think we ought to be playing." Whatever you got, I don't know that you have anywhere near 60% of people objecting. I don't get that feeling.
No, I'm just throwing out a number there.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just throwing out a number. But what I would say, and I don't know the answer to what I'm saying now. I honestly don't know with the NBA. I don't. But is there a critical mass that you reach where it becomes impossible to hold these playoffs
yes.
with 22 teams or, you know, and all that because you have invited both sides who don't want to play to have more power? And I don't
yes.
know what that number is.
I don't think you have to get to 60. So. I don't think you have to get to 60 to have that. And that's why they got to keep working at it.
Right.
None of this stuff is going to be easy in any of these sports. It isn't, Tony. And we'll stay with this theme and go to the NFL where Roger Goodell tells Mike Greenberg last night that he supports an NFL team signing Colin Kaepernick. Quote, "If he wants to resume his career in the NFL, then obviously it's going to take a team to make that decision. But I welcome that, support a club making that decision, and encourage them to do that," close quote. Tony, does Goodell's sentiment, does his statement open any door?
So I think what Roger Goodell says in public is not as important as what he does in private. He has said someone should hire Colin Kaepernick. I think that's easy to say. He's made a lot of money for a lot of owners. He needs to twist an arm or two. He needs to have a chit that he can call on if he wants this to be done. In the last week or so, we've seen Roger Goodell, I believe, step out on his own. He did pretty much what the players wanted him to do, and he extended that to say Colin Kaepernick should be in this league. But you have to deliver on this one. I mean, this is really important. Delivery on Kaepernick is really important.
It is, Tony. And one of the reasons, the only thing you and I disagree on the last few weeks as we look at all of this mushrooming situation, the only thing we disagree on is I think there's a whole lot much more pushback than you think. I think people are not nearly as going to be as nearly cooperative or in the same spirit that you are and that you suggest. I don't think there's anywhere near that level of cooperation. And so, I think the further we get away from things actually happening and it's just talk, we're going to get entirely away from it. Roger Goodell's been twisting arms for 3 years. It hasn't worked, Tony. Either he doesn't have the power or the owners are much more resistant and they are his boss says, they're much more resistant than Goodell thought and than you think. I don't think this is on Goodell. Again, I said to you last week, put the light on the owners. They're the ones dragging their feet. They're the ones who are being, I'm going to use this word advisedly, obstructionists. They've been that. And Kaepernick is representative of a larger attitude and defiance. And this is what I'm telling you, you're going to find in NASCAR, and you're going to find in all kinds of other places where people are, thank God, trying to make a move and trying to make positive change. Look, it could be good for business to hire Kaepernick. His jersey is going to sell out. It's going to be very popular depending on the community. But is an owner bold enough? Does an owner have that sentiment? Does he share that willingness and that willfulness that you suggest is out there? Tony, I told you 4 years ago, I don't think Kaepernick's ever going to play in this league. He's been blackballed, and that's just the way it is. And you know what? So far.
Okay. So far, you're right. Now, let me go back on these things point by point. One about the owners. I know that you are fond of saying the owners in the NFL are gutless. You've said that on the show a number of times. But what I am struck by is that the owners in the NFL lately have not pushed back publicly at all at Roger Goodell. No one, to my knowledge, has said he doesn't know what he's talking about. That's why I have this particular hope. In terms of Kaepernick, Kaepernick is a backup now. He's not a starter now. He hasn't played in 4 years. You know that I don't even know that he wants to play. We hear that he wants to play, but we don't hear from Kaepernick that he wants to play. So I'm not certain of that. But work him out. Other players in the NFL will know if he can play at all. I will say this. It is, for a lot of reasons, much more important to the NFL to make Colin Kaepernick a part of the NFL than to keep him apart from the NFL. And don't talk to me about kneeling, because as you know, everybody's going to kneel.
Yep.
Everybody.
Yep. Yeah, so. Everybody will, Tony. Again, we wind up saying at the end of these segments, we'll see. You know, we will see. This sounds like a Richard Pryor line. We will see. I don't know what we're going to see. You know, I'll even put my glasses on. Let me see. Let's see.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Robon ended the last segment by saying, we'll see. This is what we're going to see. We're going to see the happies. Happy 50th birthday, Phil Mickelson, the magic age in golf, where you can go to the senior tour, pick up a bunch of wins and a good chunk of cash. We've seen Fred Couples and Bernard Langer, Colin Montgomery do it. But Phil doesn't want any part of the senior tour yet. He has more majors than any golfer on the PGA Tour other than Tiger, 5, 3 Masters, a British, a PGA. But his white whale is the U.S. Open. He has more second places in the Open than anyone ever, 6. And he has thrown away a few with shots that seem crazy and overly daring at the time. He gets another shot at Wingfoot this year, where he threw away the 2006 Open with a terrible tee shot on 18 that went so far left it hit a hospitality tent and allowed Jeff Ogilvie to win. Phil Mickelson is a great crowd favorite. But his golf has slipped lately. He missed the cut at Colonial last week while wearing shades. But he put together the match one with Tiger and the match two with Tiger, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady. And there's the possibility of the match three with Tiger and Wilbon and me.
I don't know if we need that possibility. Let me just say, I'm rooting for Phil Mickelson to win the U.S. Open. You know, whenever it's played, I would like to see Phil. I root for Phil and Tiger. I'm happy for all these young bucks. It's fine. We got years with them. Phil and Tiger, Tiger and Phil. And I want to go out and actually, if there was a gallery and there's not, I'd walk it because I want to see Phil Mickelson win the Open. This Open.
I'd love to see him win. I don't know that anybody 50 has ever won the Open, but I'd love to see it. Happy anniversary, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. On this day, 45 years ago, the Milwaukee Bucks traded Kareem to the Los Angeles Lakers for four players after Kareem said he wanted to play in a big city. Kareem, who had grown up in New York City and played college ball at UCLA, said, quote, "I don't want this to seem like a blast at the people of this city, but Milwaukee is not what I'm about," unquote. Woo! Kareem led the Bucks to the NBA championship in 1971. He won five more titles in Los Angeles. He left the NBA as its all-time leading scorer. In his 6 years in Milwaukee, the Bucks got to two finals. In all the years since, they've never gotten back. Great players can force trades. Anthony Davis did it last year when he showed up in New Orleans in a shirt that said, "That's all, folks." And a year ago yesterday, he was traded to the Lakers. The saving grace in Kareem's circumstance is he delivered a championship before leaving, as LeBron James did in his hometown of Cleveland before leaving for Los Angeles, of course. The big question now is, will history repeat itself in Milwaukee? Will Giannis Antetokounmpo leave, Mike?
Wow, don't go there, Tony. I mean, everybody in Bristol, listen up, because they had a trade package this morning on SportsCenter. There's no list of 10. There's four people who were traded, and it moved the earth, okay? Babe Ruth, and you can start with that, all right? Wilt, Kareem, and Gretzky. All these other people, I saw Marshall Faulk. Just shut up. Those were the four. Everybody else, put them on a junior list, huh? Don't be 12 years old. Don't tell me, well, it happened before I was born. Let's go over the list one more time. Ruth, Wilt, Kareem, Gretzky. I'm sorry, Tony, did I miss anybody?
No, I mean, people can drink now because you said shut up. You waited so deep in the show, I was surprised. Happy trails to the long wait to see what Tom Brady looks like in a Bucks uniform. He looks good. Of course he looks good. He's Tom F. Brady. He looks good in the white jersey. He looks good in the pewter jersey. He looks good in the red jersey. If they had a green jersey, he'd look good in that. What did you expect? It's not like the Bucks signed Seth Rogen. The Bucks released 41 pictures of Brady in total. 41. They've never had anybody look as good in their dopey uniforms as Tom Brady. Tompa Tom. Maybe you're thinking they released 41 pictures of Tom Brady because in some of them, he isn't wearing number 12. Or maybe you're thinking they released 41 pictures of Tom Brady so you wouldn't confuse him with Trent Dilfer. No, they released 41 pictures of Tom Brady because they only had 41 pictures of Tom Brady.
What makes the story so worthless is the teams change uniforms so often. Those might as well be a 43rd version of New England's uniforms. Who the hell knows? The teams that don't change uniforms, God bless them, the Packers, the Bears, the Raiders, the Cowboys, it's fine. New England has had way too many uniforms, so how do I know that's not a new iteration? So stop with the uniform. You and I have to push back on producers now and say there's no more uniform conversation. Sorry, Washington, L.A., Bristol, wherever you are, no more jerseys. No more San Diego Chargers, no more jerseys. Are we good?
Tom Brady looks great in that jersey. Great.
He looks
Tom
great
Brady
in a scarf and a blazer, too. He really does. All right?